I come back today just looking forward to this worship together and saying, Lord, just help me remember how to preach, because it's been a few weeks and it's like I'm coming back for the starting over a bit in a way, but uplifted by your love today. You can turn to Ephesians 3, where I had planned to preach this message on September the 13th, and then the Lord took our son home to glory on September the 11th, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in his grace in just a moment. But as you turn there, you know, I feel like, and this is awesome, I'm a part of an extended fall Bible conference here. This is so cool. I mean, I've been listening and immersing myself in the teaching that's gone on here in my absence for a number of weeks. And you've been hearing in various services Dr. Luciano and Pastor Sean and Pastor Velardo and Pastor G, who shared powerfully in the message to introduce the missions conference, and then Dr. Alphonse Javed and Dr. Abraham Joseph and Dr. Hubbard. Wow, what a fall Bible conference we've been having. And so I've been feasting on the word as well. And it's been a great help to me. And I see dear friends here again with us. Praise the Lord for each one. George and Linda Mackin are with us as well. And it's special to be here. Then Dr. Hubbard ended last week with this wonderful message about the woman of Samaria. You know, and he talked about what a wonderful surprise it is when you break down barriers, when God breaks down barriers, religious and racial and ethnic and gender barriers, and brings you reconciliation. And when he builds bridges in their places, and he broadens blessings for all, and we become an instrument of grace. And what a great truth. I want to be, Sandy wants to be, always, and now since our son passed away, even a greater sense of urgency. Lord, use us as an instrument of your grace. We saw a picture of that great grace for today, in the Missions Conference Sunday morning preaching, Dr. Abraham Joseph, one of our own, from India. That night, wrapping up the conference, our outreach pastor, Dr. Alphonse Javed from Pakistan, one of our own as well. India and Pakistan, brothers in Christ, as most of the rest of India and Pakistan stares one another down with nukes over Kashmir. Only God can do that kind of miracle. Amen? That is his amazing grace. And we see that, of course, in Ephesians chapter 3. That literally, in order to experience that grace and to be an instrument of grace, we've got to be men and women who are empowered by God. It takes a work of God in my life to be an instrument of grace in a broken, needy world. I need to learn how to be on a power quest every day for the power of God, and I need to know how to pray a power prayer, amen? And as you see in your outline from previous messages, to pray that power prayer and be empowered, I need to seek and draw near to the right God. The God the Bible speaks about, the God of grace, the God who's the creator and sustainer of the universe, the God who is the redeemer of his people. I need to pray and draw close to that God. And I need to ask for the right stuff, as we talked about last time. When I do a power prayer, I got to pray for faith. The power to listen to God, to hear God, to understand God, to say amen to God, to trust God, to obey God. I need that kind of faith. And I also need to ask for love. We're going to talk about that today. For love. And I need to give God the applause. He needs to get all the credit, amen? The recognition. He's God who is omnipotent. His power is unlimited. It's eternal. He's also the God whose glory is forever. He's the one to be glorified. A power prayer seeks this God, asks for this stuff, and gives this God all the applause. And I need that. I need more of that. Glory to God. Some days, more than others, I need a power prayer. I need others praying a power prayer for me. I need to be praying a power prayer. Some days more than others. We need to engage in that way. The day our son died, just 9 weeks ago, was one of those days. Suddenly and tragically, he passed. 39 years old with a beautiful wife, 4 beautiful, precious daughters. In our last conversation with him, Sandy and I, the night before his death, and in her last text to him, a little after the conversation the night before, we shared from this amazing passage of Scripture, Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21, which was the passage that I was preparing to preach and finish this little mini-series that Sunday. And that was the passage on our heart and on our minds, of course, and so we shared that with him. And I want you, our beautiful family here, to hear the last communication that we had with him before the Lord took him home. Tried to call you today, but it went to voicemail. Praying you are making right choices for your life. Dad and I are praying over you. Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. You can follow along in chapter 3, verse 14, and read along as I read the way we paraphrased it for him. For this reason, Dad and I bow our knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you, Josh, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in his love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you, Josh, may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to God, who's able to do far more abundantly than your dad and I could ever ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, let it be. Love, Mom and Dad. And now he's with God. It was our personal power quest. It was our personal power prayer. And you know, God in his grace, as our brother Jeff sang and the choir sang so beautifully about. God in his grace, just a few days before he took our son home, Sandy and I had gone to see a film here in New York City, down in Times Square, called War Room. How many have seen that? A few, maybe a third of you, maybe a fourth of you. It's powerful. I recommend it. See it. See it. It's been one of the most successful films recently in Hollywood, major film. And what a blessing it was to us and helped prepare us. And in the midst of my message, I want to show you a clip of it today. Thank you.
You've been a good enough father.
I want to be a good enough father.
Let's go, let's go!
Don't quit! Don't quit!
Hey, you know what? I thought your jump rope routine was really good.
I just got a notification that you moved money from our savings into your checking account.
Can we talk about this later?
You must be the real estate agent.
Well, it's so good to meet you.
Let me show you the house.
This is my favorite place in this house. I call it my war room.
You wrote prayers for each area of your life.
Prayer strategy.
I sure could use some of that. Tony, you should go see your practice tomorrow.
I'm out of town this week.
When were you going to tell me?
I just did.
Tony, how's my favorite rep?
Real good. How you doing?
I wish I lived at your house. Whenever my parents are together, they just fight.
Dude, I can't get a pass from you. It'd be easier to baptize a cat.
I just need you to blow off a little steam, okay?
There's one thing we do well. It's fight.
You do not want World War III to break out in your home.
No, I don't.
Just because you argue a lot doesn't mean that you fight well. You got to plead with God so that he can do what only he can do. Then you got to get out of the way and let him do it. You need to do your fighting in prayer.
Keep fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine.
I've never seen anybody do what you did.
It's time for you to take off the gloves.
Keep fighting the good.
Lord, we need an army of believers. Lord, call us to battle. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them
up. Keep fighting the good. Fighting the good. Fighting the good. Fight, good fight. That
was an awesome encouragement for us that week. I encourage you to see it. It swept the nation by storm, one of the best-selling movies in the last couple of months. People long for grace, amen? The world needs grace, prayer. People need power in their lives. This is powerful stuff. The war room. She said, you guys know how to fight, but you don't know how to fight very well. You need to fight on your knees. You need to fight in prayer. And so in engaging in a power quest and in praying a power prayer, we pray for faith. Amen? We pray for faith. We also pray for love. See verse 17, I should say. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We pray for love in the power prayer. Love for God, love for others. God is love, and so as we pray for love, we pray for more of God, amen? As we get more of God, we love more. We pray for a close encounter with God. And then we love supernaturally because the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us, has shed the love of Christ in our hearts. May we have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth and to know the love of Christ. He talks about this four-dimensional love, this love of God, which has a breadth to it and a length to it and a height to it and a depth to it. It's multidimensional, amen? And he says we need to have strength to comprehend this multidimensional, awesome love that God has for us. And that he makes available for us to have for each other and for others as well. He says, we need to pray for this. We need to work for this. Trust God for this. Amen. We need to be able to comprehend it a little bit better. And to know this love experientially, personally, that what surpasses knowledge. It's a love that we will never fully grasp. We'll never fully get our puny gray matter around it. Actually, because love lasts forever, eternally, we'll spend eternity learning more about this multidimensional love. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And he says the secret to having a life empowered and controlled and guided by God himself is to let this love impact us. So he says, when you pray, pray for love. Pray for love. Pray for more of God. Amen. That's a power prayer. That's prayer in the war room. Glory to God. Where we've seen this love demonstrated so amazingly in the last 3 or 4 months has been from Charleston, South Carolina. Mother Emmanuel Church. I have shared a number of illustrations and messages before I left you for a time by your grace and the grace of our boards giving us time away. I even did a whole message on the witness of South Carolina from John 1 and the word became flesh and how it's been revealed in Christ, and now he reveals his grace through us, through Mother Emmanuel and the people there. Amazing. And recently, I should say recently to the time I left, but in September, I guess it was, a young man named Chris Singleton, who is the son of Sharonda Coleman Singleton, his precious mom, who was one of the 9 murdered in Charleston. He came to New York, and he was the guest of the Yankees here in New York. And the testimony of his and their love was amazing. The paper said, Chris Singleton immediately knew something was wrong, wondering why a stranger's voice surfaced after picking up a call from his mother's phone. The oldest of 3 children, Singleton's life soon turned surreal, learning his mother, Sharonda Coleman Singleton, was one of 9 victims murdered in the Emmanuel AME Church shooting in Charleston, South Carolina this June. In the midst of unthinkable tragedy, Singleton, 19, showed an unimaginable amount of humanity just one day after the shooting, speaking at a vigil for his mother, who raised him and his siblings as a single parent. "We already forgive the shooter for what he's done," said Singleton, an outfielder at Charleston Southern University. "There's nothing but love from our side of the family. Love is stronger than hate. So if we love the way my mom did, the hate won't be anything compared to what the love is." 19 years old, a day after his mother was murdered. What an amazing witness. On Monday, Singleton was smiling and happy to feel like he was dreaming, hitting home runs at Yankee Stadium. Singleton, who opened Yankees Hope Week by getting a surprise visit from Alex Rodriguez, Brett Gardner, and Dalene Betances during an appearance on the Today Show, was still in shock hours later in the Bronx, participating with the Yankees during batting practice and throwing out the first pitch. Given a locker next to Ivan Nova, Singleton spoke with dozens of players and was touched and amazed to be told what an inspiration he had been. "I don't know if I'm a role model, but I feel honored when somebody says that to me," Singleton said. "They were just talking about how strong I've been. It's an honor just to be around them." Brett Gardner said he's pretty special. It's pretty evident his mom was a special person, and she did a really good job raising those kids. And she really did do a really good job. Last month, Singleton inspired the internet, tweeting, "The good outweighs the bad, even on your worst days. Love is stronger than hate, so if we love the way my mom did, the hate won't be anything compared to what the love is." 2 weeks after we left you to get a little time away in Florida. We were with some of our friends for a few days in Charleston, South Carolina. And they said to us, is there any place in Charleston you'd like us to take you? And I said, well, you know, I know Charleston has some amazing history here. But I said, you know, on this trip, the only place I want to go is Mother Emmanuel Church. Sandy and I want to go there. We want to pray there. See some of the people. Seek God there. And so we did. I want to show you a few slides that we took as God met us there powerfully. You see the sign welcoming everybody? Still Wednesday night, Bible study, 6 p.m. Still coming to pray and to read the word in the very areas there where those people died as martyrs for Christ. The hand of a vicious, racist terrorist. What a beautiful place, especially the people. You can see some of us out there on the corner there. Very, very special. The cross prominently displayed. The cross where sins are forgiven and people are reconciled to God and to each other. A little bit of their history, which is an amazing history of God's grace, bringing freedom in the midst of so much slavery in the history of our country. And then they have a sign right in front of the church. It says, thank you for all the prayers, all the love. And of course, we say, thank you for a witness beyond description. For many weeks, and still for many people, the greatest witness in the world at that time. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, our dear sister Carol Kent, who was teaching yesterday so powerfully, she and her husband have such a powerful witness concerning their own son and the loss of their son to a prison term now. Carol was sharing with us at dinner last night after the women's conference that just Thursday, 3 days ago, just the day before she came here, she was invited by the community in Charleston, 1,200 people, the religious community, including many of the family and friends of those from Emmanuel Church. Carol was asked to come and speak about the gospel and about Christ to them. And of course, she took the opportunity. 1,200 people got to hear the gospel. And she said that right up front, they put 9 chairs and left them empty for the 9 brothers and sisters who had passed in the midst of the murder spree. And it was incredibly powerful. Amen. The love shown, the greatest love of all, is this love. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 for a moment. One of the greatest passages of world literature in history, 1 Corinthians 13. Many of the Bible passages are some of the greatest passages ever in the history of literature, including Job and Ecclesiastes and the Sermon on the Mount and 1 Corinthians 13. And this picture of love is a picture of the love of the folks at Emmanuel Church, but even more profoundly, it's the picture of the love of God, the love of Christ, manifested in his people. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. That idea can also mean it's not hateful. It's not looking for payback. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. Now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love, because God is love. Love is forever, amen? So when we pray that power prayer, let's get near to the right God. Let's ask for the right stuff. Faith and love. That's all we need. And then as we close today, a couple of months later than I expected, but as we close for now, for today, as we pray the power prayer, let's offer the right applause, amen? Let's give the right recognition, and that's to God himself. You see verse, as I go back to Ephesians 3, you see verse 20? This great prayer and eulogy to God, doxology to God, glory to God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We can't offer a power prayer without giving the right applause. And that's to God, to him who's able to do far more abundantly than we could ask or think, to the God who can do stuff that boggles our minds, that dwarfs our ability to ask, to request, to even conceive or imagine. Amen? This is the God who gets all the glory, all the cred. Amen? He gets all the applause, all the recognition. He says, that's how you pray a power prayer. According to the power at work within us. His power, not ours. His power, not the power of the apostles and prophets, but his power. His omnipotence. To him be glory. Here's the doxology. The glory, the doxa, the Shekinah, the kabod, all the words that describe the glory of God. Be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. The church is to express his glory, to live, to reflect and reveal his glory. In the church and in Christ Jesus, where his glory has been revealed exquisitely and in an unparalleled way. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That glory. Throughout all generations, he gets the glory. Not the church, not us, not the apostles, not the prophets, not the pastors, not the teachers. To God alone be the glory. Great cry of the Reformation. Great cry of the evangelical church. Forever and ever, his glory will last forever and ever. It'll be revealed forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Let it be. Can't pray the power prayer without giving the right applause. Amen. The right recognition. As we begin to close, many of you know that we have the privilege, I personally and a few pastors, evangelical pastors in New York, have the privilege for the last 4 years of meeting regularly with some of New York City's and the world's leading rabbis. And I've shared this stuff with you. It's been published in a couple things we've written about Israel and the Jews in the Middle East and so forth. But I've shared a lot of that with you. And recently, matter of fact, just before our son passed, we had the last meeting with the rabbis in early September. It was right here at Calvary. We hosted that particular one. A friend of mine, Rabbi Kermeyer, an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, we've become friends. We're already talking now. He's moved from Manhattan to Israel now. We're looking forward to seeing him in Israel next year, Lord willing, during our next Israel trip. He had returned to speak in the city at a number of venues, and we invited him to come and speak to the Rabbi Evangelical Gathering, and he did. He's one of us. He helped lead it for years. And in his message, he shared the need for the people of faith to focus on the theme of the glory of God. How interesting that he picked that theme. That all of us focus on the glory of God. He said, we need to be driven by passion for God's glory. Driven by a passion for God's glory. He taught us that to glorify God at its root means to enhance God's reputation. That's what to glorify God means. To enhance God's reputation. To give God the applause. Amen? To give God and God alone the recognition. He is God. We are not. In that gathering, Dr. Paul DeVries, who's a great friend of mine and of Calvary, he's the president of the New York Divinity School, and he considers himself a part of the family at Calvary. He's here so often. He shared with everyone and with the rabbis that the very purpose for our lives, according to Christian evangelical theology, is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. And interestingly enough, when he shared that, the rabbis were very excited and interested. Right away, they related to glorify God. But the second part, to enjoy God forever, was something that they hadn't heard as much, you might say. It was a little bit of a different kind of a message, interestingly. The idea of enjoying God forever. And yet in the Old Testament, Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, David says, that I will seek often, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. To glorify God and to what? To enjoy him forever. Notice that phrase, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. The Lord says a day is coming when there will be in our experience a consistent, artistic, aesthetic fervor and intoxication and enthrallment, passion and experience of the beauty of God and all that he has done. That is going to be an eternity of aesthetic adventures. Amen? The beauty of God. Because he gets all the glory. To applaud God for eternity. Amen? As we learn more of his beauty, explore it. Glory to God. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to what? Inquire in his temple. This adventure, this eternity of giving God the applause will include artistic, aesthetic passion and adventure. It will also include intellectual passion and intoxication and exhilaration that our minds will engage and think and explore and learn more and more and more about God and about all that he's done and how he, all his qualities, his character. It's going to be an eternity of artistic and intellectual adventure and passion. It is not going to be boring, folks. And in the midst of all the artistry and the adventures of the mind, the heart, the spirit, he's going to get all the glory. All the glory. And at the end of the round table, one of the Jewish lawyers said something. It was very interesting. He said, you know, even as Jews, we need to talk more about Jesus. It was like, what? Amen. It's like, what? Yes. He said, we need to talk more about Jesus, even to other Jews. We need to talk more about Jesus. It was amazing. And then he said, and we need to stand against evil and terror. And he's right. To pray the power prayer, we got to give all the applause to God. Amen? Wow. It is so good to be back with you guys. Glory to God. You look really good. You look really good. Glory to God. You look really, really good. And thank you for all the love and all the prayers. In the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, thank you, Lord, for your beauty, your love, your grace. Change us by your Spirit. Make us more like Christ. Rescue that precious man or woman still in need of faith in Christ today. May this be the day of salvation. As they say, yes, Lord, I repent of my sins. I ask you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. May this be the day you do it privately, Lord, and it becomes public as you work in their hearts. We trust you. Thank you for all your good gifts and for the love of this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.